You drive here tonight, Sam?
Yes, sir.
Which way did you come?
I came from Shreveport Street here.
Did you come down 1960 or what?
59.
59? And you turned where?
On 1960.
Why did you turn there? Why didn't you just go straight on 1960? On 59?
I needed to get off here to get here.
Oh. Because you wanted to get off and get here. If you hadn't been planning to come here, might you have went straight on 59?
Maybe.
And that's the way life is. If we have no purpose, we cannot make the decisions when we need to go straight or turn when we come to crossroads. That's the way it is with the family. If we don't understand the purpose of the husband-wife relationship, then every day when we come to those crossroads, we just maybe follow a whim. We don't know. Just, hey, that looks good. We'll do that. And because we drive that way in our life, we may not end up at the destination that we'd like to reach, which is a happy, stable, loving family. And thus the purpose of the husband-wife relationship. It's very important to understand. That's what we're looking at tonight. Do y'all know people who just live together and don't get married at all? Yes. Yes. They just temporary. Spend a few nights together, maybe move on to the next one. Let me ask you this. The people that you know that get married, I wonder what they'd say if you ask them, well, why? In fact, they might ask you why. Hey, I live together. And we get some of the benefits of living together. Why do you get married? I mean, you don't have to get married to sleep together. I mean, it can be sin, but you can do it. You don't have to get married to share the rent. So, why do people get married? We've got young people in our class. Bailey, Rachel, Noah, Jalen, various ones. See Lily back here. I tell you what would be interesting. Josh even visiting with us. You ask those that are your age, they'll probably think you're crazy for asking, but ask anyway. Why do you think people get married? Why should they get married? It'd be interesting to see if your peers can give you an answer. In fact, forget the young people. All of you, just ask your coworker, ask your relative, ask them, why should people get married? There's a lot of different reasons given. Some people evidently think marriage is for sexual gratification. I've got a passion, I want to satisfy it, and I need to get married because that's just the right thing to do. I know, I don't imagine anybody would answer this way for financial advantage. And yet sometimes it looks like that must be what people have in mind because they get married and they're never together. They may pass in the hall now and then. One works day, one works night, one works the week, one works the weekend. But they got two incomes, and they can buy a bigger house, maybe a boat and a lot on the lake. I don't know if they ever get to enjoy it. Maybe once in a while. And you wonder, why did they get married? And my guess is a lot of people in this country just, all they know about it, that's just what you do in America. That's our culture. You get married. There's a higher purpose that some people might give. It's clean. Got any idea what I have in mind?
Have kids.
Have kids. Got to get married. So I want to have kids. And that's why God made marriage.
Somebody take care of you when you get old.
Yeah, somebody take care of you when you get old. Good luck. But anyway. Yes, sir.
I don't see the problem is if they get old, too.
Yeah. The fact is, Not one of those reasons is the purpose for marriage. Not one. Some of those are privileges in marriage, but they're not the purpose of marriage. So, if you wanted to find out about, you've got an automobile like mine, I still don't know what all the buttons and gadgets do. You say, what does that thing do? Where can I go to find out? A manual. And if you want to find out why we should get married, what's the purpose of this relationship, the best place to turn is to the Creator and His manual, and that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to turn to the Bible later on, like in Samuel or the prophets or the New Testament. We're going to go all the way back to the fountain, that is, when marriage originated. And that way it's not contaminated by the culture of ignorance and sin. And so let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm not expecting you to answer this question, but just something to think about. If somebody were to ask you, you're a Christian, maybe you've been married 10, 15, 30 years, why should people get married? What's the purpose of marriage? Where would you go to answer? How would you answer? Well, I don't know what you'd say, but this is a good place to start. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2. In verse 18, Moses is writing. He says, something's not good. What is it? Man to be alone. So, man is alone. He's lonely. And so God said it's not good. Now, it's obvious that Moses has backed up in his record, isn't it? Because in Genesis chapter 1, 26, he had already created the man and the woman. But as is found throughout Genesis, Moses will write something and then later give the details of what he wrote about. For sake of time, we can't look at it tonight, but just suggest this. You're going to read in Genesis 10 about the nations being divided according to their languages. But at the beginning of chapter 11, they all had one language. And so Moses wrote about something that actually followed Genesis 11 in Genesis 10. And so he backs up in chapter 11 to explain how the different languages came about. That's what he did here in Genesis 1 and 2. So he backs up now, and there is nothing but the male that God has created. And he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, as you look at verse 18, he says, I will make a helper. The New American Standard Version says suitable. And is anybody in this class using the new using the King James? Okay, Melissa, what did it say? So he said, I'm going to make a helpmate, right? Help meet, M-E-E-T, not M-A-T-E. She is a helpmate, but that's not what the text says. Meet means agreeable to, corresponding to. In fact, if you look at the marginal note in the New American Standard Version, instead of the word suitable, what does it have? Corresponding to. So, he said, I'm going to make a helper corresponding to. So, if man is alone, what does he need?
A companion.
The word companion comes from two words. One is bread and the other is to eat. It meant to eat bread with somebody. That's originally what it meant. But it came to have a broader meaning, not just to share a meal, but to share a life. And that's the word companion. So it's not just somebody you're married to. That's not the idea. It's says, I'm going to solve this problem of a person being alone. The opposite of being alone is what? Having company. Right? And one who accompanies is a companion. And so while the word companion doesn't occur here, that's clearly the idea here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Now, Keith and Melissa are building a house. So let's suppose they talk to their contractor. They say, we want you to build us a house. He says, okay, I will. So he goes out and he builds the house. And 3 months later, he comes back to Keith and Melissa and he says, here, sign right here. Your house is going to cost $1 million. Whoa! Better look at this thing. They go out and look at it. It's 3-story, got 5 bedrooms, 8 bedrooms, 5 baths. Beautiful place. Here, sign right here. What's the problem? Not what they want. It doesn't fit them. It's not suitable, is it? Yeah, the $1 million is a problem. Sure, that doesn't suit them either. So if a contractor wants to do what's good for Keith and Melissa, before he starts building the house, what is he going to find out? What they want, yes. And what they need, right? If he's a smart contractor, you know, say, he knows about building houses. They may say, here's what we want. He said, well, here's what will work best for you. So God did just wake up one day and say, you know, it's Saturday. I don't have anything to do today. I think I'll just build a woman. The fact is, man had a problem. And he said, I'm going to make a helper. What does the text say? Suitable. Corresponding to the woman. Now, in order for that contractor to build a house that meets Keith and Melissa's needs, he has to know something about Keith and Melissa, doesn't he? He has to know whether or not they can afford $1 million house. How many children do you have? What do you want out of this house? What do you need? And so if we're going to understand God building a woman for man, we need to understand something about man. Because God's going to make a woman to correspond to him. So hold your finger at Genesis 2 and go to Luke 2:52. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Now, Jesus advanced in four ways. What are they?
Wisdom,
that's the mental part of man.
Stature,
that's the physical part of man.
Favor with God,
that's the spiritual part of man. And man, that's the social part of man. So man is a fourfold being. Mental, physical, spiritual, social. When people think about marriage and woman for man, what part of that do they think about? Physical. Young people in our audience, listen to me. It's important. Someday you're going to start looking at those girls or those boys and say, "Woo, good looking. Man, that's good looking." I don't know what term it is anymore. It used to be, he's a hunk or she's a number 10 or whatever that was. I don't know. I don't know what it is today. And that's part of it, physical. But there's some other parts of it. You know, here's a girl who's grown up in some degree of culture, and here's this good-looking guy, but he doesn't even wear a shirt. He just wears a wife beater shirt. He don't even like screens on the door. He likes the doors open. He runs cogs in the house. Y'all going to have a good time together socially? And here this girl's grown up. She's tried to be a Bible student and been taken to church all her life. And here's this good-looking guy, but he likes to drink and curse. And he don't ever want to go to church. They're going to have a good life spiritually and morally? No. And if we as parents can take this lesson from Genesis and Luke and say, look, when God designed marriage, here's the man and his needs. He needs a companion. But he needs a companion, not just somebody to be sitting on the couch with him, not somebody just to share the bed with him, but somebody he can share ideas with socially, somebody he can share his faith with, those kind of things. And so socially, mentally, spiritually, and physically. And if parents could teach their young people to look for those things, that could make a difference. Yes?
You're talking about the four facets of the man. In your rainwater survey, the question was asked to the wives and to the husband, what was the most important quality? It wasn't the physical, it was the spiritual.
Very good. Rocky pointed that out. We looked at that in a previous class. It wasn't the physical in those surveys. It was the spiritual on both sides, wasn't it? That's right. Good point, Rocky. I gave some people before class some cards. They have answers on them. What's your answer, Bailey?
71.
What? 71? What's your answer, Rachel? 9. Let's see. I gave Jalen one. What's your answer?
17.
I gave Dylan one. What's your answer?
6.
Well, how do you like that?
What's the question?
Exactly. That don't make any sense, do they? Unless you know the problem. And look, this is what happens relative to woman. She's the answer. She's the answer. Remember, God didn't just say, I'm going to make a woman. She's the answer to a problem. If we don't understand the problem, we lose the sense of woman's existence. And so it's important to understand a perspective of why did God build this wonderful creature we know as a woman. It was an answer to a problem. And so that's why we have this suitable answer. I don't know whether to ask this or not, but I'm going to ask it. I hope the answer is good. Dylan, you want to find you a nice man to marry?
Yes, sir.
All right. You don't. What if he has nice long hair and grows a nice beard?
Well, that's me.
Jalen, you want to find a man to marry, don't you? Nah. Okay, that's pretty definite. There are men who want to marry men. We know what they are. A normal, ordinary thinking man who has had his thinking perverted wants to marry a woman. So, ladies, girls, dress like a woman. Talk like a woman. Walk like a woman. Act like a woman. A man wants to marry not another man, but a woman. And women, mothers, need to teach their daughters. Mothers and daddies need to teach their daughters to be feminine. And mothers and wives need to be women, not to strive to compete in being a man. That's not God's plan. That's not the way it was designed, if I understand Genesis chapter 2. Now, I've got a problem in mind. The problem is 3 plus 6. What's your answer, Dylan?
6.
6. What's your answer, Bailey?
71.
What's your answer, Jalen?
17.
Huh. What's your answer, Rachel? 9. What's wrong with all these other people? Can't they add?
They have different problems.
That's right. How many of these answers will work?
One.
One. Only one. And I could have handed out 100 of them. Only one will work. That's what you have in Genesis 2. Here's man. He's got a problem. God knows the problem. He is alone. He needs somebody to share his life. So when you start in verse 19, he said, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what the man would call them. What's the problem immediately if you're familiar with Genesis 1? What? Well, we hadn't got that far. Just with what I've read. What's the problem? Don't answer, Rocky. Don't answer, Wally. What's the problem? No problem? Well, he is alone. But God said, I'll make these animals. So what? What's the problem? Huh? They're not in God's what? So?
That's the problem.
How do you know that? Look, what's the problem with the what Moses wrote about the order of it? In Genesis 1, when the man came on the scene, were there already animals? What?
Yes.
Yes. In chapter 2, man's on the scene. Does he write like there's animals? No. Did he forget what he wrote in the first chapter? In chapter 1, what day were the birds created? I see eyes rolling. Go back to chapter 1. All right. Got an answer. Look down at verse 23 of chapter 1. There was evening, morning, fifth day. Look back in verse 20. You got the birds that fly above the earth, the open expanse of the heavens. You have the sea creatures, verse 21. Fifth day. What's made on the sixth day?
Man.
Before man.
Yes, ground animals.
Ground animals. But in chapter 2, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. I thought the birds were made on day 5. I thought the animals on the ground were made on day 6 before the man. Remember we said not all answers will work. There's only one. And that's the point he's going to make. And somebody, several of them in the class have already pointed to it. Look, he said, verse 20, the man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the sky, and every beast of the field. Here's the point. Here's the bottom line. But for Adam, there was not found a helper. What?
Suitable for him.
He had some helpers. In fact, if he wanted to till the garden, would a woman be a better help or a good strong ox? He had an ox. You know, people think man needs a woman to clean the house. Really? Is that what she's for? Nothing wrong with a woman cleaning the house. The Bible teaches a woman ought to take care of domestic duties in Titus 2. But that's not why she's made in Genesis 2. Today, people talk about man's best friend. Usually it's what?
Dog.
A dog. Well, I'll tell you what. There's no dog alive that'll be my best friend. And I had a dog. And I had a dog I loved. I'd fight for him. Did fight for him when I was a kid. But man's best friend to spend his life with should be his wife. And so God says, all of these animals, Adam had all these animals, and he named them. But not one of them would suit the need that he had for somebody to share his life. He was lonely. That's what woman is for. And a dog can't share your spiritual values, your moral values. An ox. You're going to have a fun time sitting down having a conversation with an ox at the end of the day. one-way conversation. I know people talk to their plants and all that kind of stuff. But. And so man needed somebody to laugh with, cry with, meet the challenges of life with, serve God with. So God said, I know what he needs. I'm going to build this unique, one-of-a-kind being called a woman. And so that's the story you have. So out of all those answers that people had in this class tonight, only one will answer the problem, and that's the way it is here. Not even another man would answer the problem, would it? And you know what? I gave these people these answers. Let's suppose for just a moment that the correct, on the basis of giving the right answer, you would get your degree, and on the basis of giving the right answer, you would be awarded $1 million. Now, is the answer important? Kind of important, isn't it? And you know what? Woman is important. There's not another being alive that can solve the problem but her. Not even another man. God could have made another man, but he didn't. He built a woman. And when people talk about woman being made for a man, they act like, well, that kind of puts her down. No, it didn't put her down. Not at all. It exalts her.
See, I've been thinking about what loneliness we're talking about here, because you know, some people are fine being alone for a certain period of time. I mean, I go out in the woods and camp for a week and be perfectly happy, but this loneliness is more deep-seated in that what you're talking about, the social human need for connecting with other people. And some people who aren't married seek that through friends, co-workers, and all that, but it's a beautiful thing that God designed marriage, that we can have that with somebody who complements us in so many different ways in areas that we are lacking. And it just speaks to the great designer of understanding that need and that concept of true loneliness, not just being alone for a while, but the true deep-seated loneliness and the problems that would cause.
Good observation. And while you can seek and enjoy the company of your co-workers or your family, as Sam was talked about, there are just areas that nobody can satisfy, nobody can reach. There are joys to be had, benefits to be had that can only be had in the husband-wife relationship. And that's why God designed it. But we are social beings. Like Sam said, we seek the company of our friends or co-workers, those kind of things. But there's a lot more. There's that mental and moral and physical as well. The women's liberation movement doesn't understand woman's purpose. You know, if I take... You know, we went and helped Clark tear up his house. And some of us had hammers and crowbars. That worked pretty good for what we were doing. But what if we had to take out a screw? Would a hammer and a crowbar be much help?
Just beat it out.
What if it was down where you couldn't get to it? Yeah. So you say, you hear you're trying to get that screw out and this hammer and this crowbar won't work. You just throw them out in the yard? No. They've got a purpose. And for that purpose, they're great. But if you have a slotted screw, you need a screwdriver. Well, the women's liberation movement doesn't understand the purpose of woman. And it's like trying to use a crowbar to get a screw out. You might get it out eventually. You might beat it out with the hammer. But if we understood the purpose of the screwdriver and used it like intended, wouldn't it be a lot smoother? And so if we can understand the purpose of marriage, it will help us. So here you got a problem. God said, I'm going to make a helper suitable. She's the only, so we have the suitable, it's on your lesson, I believe. She's the suitable answer, the only answer, and the perfect answer. So Adam was put to sleep and he woke up. Did he build this thing just standing in front of him now?
No.
No. Did he design her?
No.
So he wakes up and there's Eve and all of her innocence and beauty. What? How do you know that? Text say that? I agree, probably did. But text doesn't say that. So here's this woman in all of her beauty and innocence. She didn't have any clothes on, right? But she did have a little tag. Y'all know that? On her wrist? Yeah, she did. She had a little tag on her wrist. And it said, to Adam from God with love. She's a gift from God. Wasn't she? Wasn't she? You know, Sam and Ashley are getting ready to move off, leave us. And let's suppose somebody decides they want to, you know, I'd like to get Sam and Ashley something they could really use. So maybe a bunch of you get together and say, here's, I think, what they could use. We'll get Sam something. And then we'll, so the ladies can get Ashley something. And so guys get together. Here's what Ashley, Sam, I don't know if they're getting anything, Sam. So don't get your hopes up. So they say, here's what Sam could really use. What'd you say it was?
Bass Pro gift card.
Bass Pro, okay.
Or cash.
So anyway, they figure out something. And said, you know, a lot of thought and care went, they give it to him. So 6 months from now, a year from now, they go to visit Sam, Shreveport. Drive up in the yard, and there's that thing. It's out in the yard, rusty. Been running over it with the car. I said, man, how would you feel about that gift? And Sam felt about the gift. Yeah. You know, he could have taken care of it, showed some appreciation. Fellas, when we stand before God in judgment, God in all his wisdom and love built a woman for me and you. If we hadn't taken care of her, if we hadn't appreciated her, would we give account? Think about that. All right, so it says in the text, verse 18, I'm going to make a helper. There's what we've been looking for. The man's up here and the woman down. She's just a helper. I knew he was superior all along, right? Deuteronomy, I've got on your lesson, Deuteronomy 33, 26, and 29. If you read those verses, who's the helper? God helps Israel. Is God less than Israel or greater than Israel? Tell you what, folks, Israel couldn't have made it without God. In John, this other verse that I have, in John chapter 15, 26, who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. Could the apostles have made it without the Holy Spirit? Because he's called the helper. In the New American Standard Version, some versions use the word comforter. The word actually means somebody that comes alongside to help. That's what it means. Does that demote him? Does that make him less than the apostles? No. And folks, man will never reach the potential that God put in this relationship, intended, without woman. So I'll make a helper suitable. Ladies, hold your head up high. Somebody, what do? I'm a housewife. I'm a wife. Don't be apologetic. It's the greatest world a woman can have outside of serving God. And you are serving God when you do that.
Is there any stock in
verse 15 of Genesis 2, you know, God gave Adam a job to cultivate and keep the garden. So she was to help him with that.
How do you know that?
Well, I mean, help with a task.
Right? Is that what it says in verse 18? Needed help with the garden?
No. That's why I'm asking, is there any stock in there?
I don't see anything better helping with the garden. I'm going to tell you, if I had a garden, I don't know if I want a woman. Would you, or would you rather have a good, strong ox?
Well, the point was that there's tax.
Sorry, you can't make that with Ashley. I'm sorry, Sam.
She lets my plants die.
There's no connecting the cultivating the garden with the making of the woman. If I've missed it, you show me where it's in the text. And it's interesting you mention that, because he just mentioned the cultivating the garden, and yet when he said man needed a helper, not one word about the garden, is there? In fact, wouldn't you at least rather another good strong man to help the garden?
Well, it could be a helper of all aspects of life, not just the garden.
So you think she was made to help with the garden?
Possibly.
Well, where does it say that in text? No, it doesn't say it in the text. Stay with the text, folks. It doesn't say anything about that.
The answer is in verse 18.
You know where y'all are getting that? In your imagination. It's not in the text. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let you speak in your imagination. Go with it.
I think the answer is in verse 18, where he states the problem and then mentions the solution. The problem is not the garden.
Right, not the garden. Thank you, Sam. Problem, not the garden. Were there any weeds in the garden yet?
No.
Wasn't even any weeds.
Well, you had to cultivate it.
Had to cultivate it, but there's nothing about weeds, is there? It was a perfect world. I don't know what he had to do, but it was a perfect world at that time. All right, so sometimes we've got to be careful, because we've got ideas in our minds, just not in the text. Am I saying a woman shouldn't help a man in his garden? No. My wife helped me build a house. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not why God made her. It's not the purpose of marriage. So, what can we do to help restore wifehood to its proper honor? What can women do to restore wifehood to its proper honor? I just thought of some things. You may can add to this list. First of all, just believe what we're reading. You know, if you open a magazine, and there's an ad, and there's some opportunity to become dentist, there's a picture of a person there. They look all haggard, and they're frowning, and their clothes are all ragged. They just look worn out. Here, you want to be a dentist? That make you want to jump on board? Not hardly. And yet that's the picture often that's painted of a wife. You know who the successful woman is? Oh, she's the woman that wears the business suit and works in the office and all of that. Look at that. Which one do you want to be, this old haggard wife or this nice-dressed business woman? That's the devil's working with images to change our thinking, folks. Listen, lift up your head, honor. Men and women need to believe what God said and treat wifehood with honor and distinction, and change the bad cycle. Let parents teach their daughters how important it is to be a wife. Say, I've got to get my daughter educated so she can have a job, make money. Really? Is that what's important? Or is it teaching how to love a husband, love children, to tap the potentials and capabilities that God put in her? If she never gets a degree. We studied a verse in a previous lesson that talks about transformation. Remember what that verse was?
Romans 12.
Romans 12. So do not be conformed to what?
This world.
The world. What's the world?
World view, perception.
Sir?
Their view, perception, thinking.
All right, the world of men who live in ignorance of God and His will be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. That's why this kind of study is good for us. If we can plant in our hearts new and better thoughts about marriage, it can help transform our relationships. We're giving you a checklist. Let me say right quick before we dismiss. I've got some other things I want to say about this lesson. We'll catch you in the next class. So, I believe Rachel had the right answer, and I had a problem. But before you can have a solution, what have you got to do? You got to join them together, don't you? That's the last part of Genesis 2. That's marriage. God brought her to the man. He left. He said, a man has to leave his father and mother. He didn't have one, but that's the rule. Leave your father and mother and cleave to his wife. And we'll pick up there in our next class. Now, you've got this checklist, do you not? Should I ask for a show of hands? Everybody's going home and talking about that with their family? I'm not going to do that. I do hope you go home and talk to your family about it. We've got young people in our audience. Parents, talk to your young people about this. Right now, you can lay the groundwork for thoughts that may make a difference in their lives in years to come. So these are practical applications. We'll pick up and finish this lesson and get into the next lesson, the Lord willing, on Sunday. Thank you for your good comments. Appreciate you being patient with me.